seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Daniel chapter 6 and the first part of verse 22. The book of Daniel chapter 6 and the first part of verse 22. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. The book of Daniel, chapter 6, the first part of verse 22, I'll read the whole verse. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. We have here the wonderful record, what the Holy Spirit recorded concerning dear Daniel. Firstly, he was to be appointed not only by the king to be, as it were, the prime minister of the land, but also by God. But you see, in any appointment that's made by God, the devil will do all he can to try and overthrow it. If we have got a right exercise in our souls, the devil will do all he can to try and overthrow it. And the adversary is not short of means. He will use all the gunshot of hell that he can get hold of. And here we find it concerning Daniel. You see, he was preferred above the presidents and princes. And we have here the beautiful reason why. And let us each lay it to heart. Because an excellent spirit was in him. Really, you know, if you look back in the case of those sent into the land, as we looked at the other week, to spy out the land of Canaan, what do we read concerning Caleb? We read the Holy Spirit recorded that there was another spirit in him. He wasn't left to the spirit of his old flesh and nature as those 10 were that brought back an evil report. I try and pray so often that we might each have the Spirit of Christ. And what does the Word of God tell us? Except ye have the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. Well, these that sought to overthrow Daniel, they hadn't got the Spirit of Christ, had they? They got the spirit of the devil. And the devil is a master of lies. And here he did all he could to try and destroy Daniel. So he gets into these rulers, the presidents and princes, and they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. And the devil worked on them. And they thought they'd have their way. And it appeared, in the first instance, they were gaining the victory, didn't they? That Daniel must be cast into the den of lions. And they convinced the king of it, because Daniel, in spite of the writing being signed that all petitions should be put to the king and not to God or any other, they got the king to sign it. But what was the reaction in Daniel? Now here we see that excellent spirit found in Daniel. It was the spirit of Christ, the spirit of God, it was the spirit of humility, and it was so relevant in Daniel. And what did he do? He went into his house. And I often think of that. I've tried to preach from it here years ago. He went into his house. And what did he do? Do we read this? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He didn't shut the windows so men could not hear. They were open. But where were they open to? They weren't open to men. They were open toward Jerusalem. And there's a wonderful lot of teaching really in that, you see. They were open toward the holy city. In other words, they were open heavenward. You think of the windows of your heart and mine today, are they open heavenward? And what did he do? Knowing the writing was signed that he should be cast into the den of lions if he approached unto the Lord. But you see, real prayer must go forth. And he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, morning, noon and night. Nothing could keep back his prayer. That's how real it was. You know, if you've got a matter that troubles you, even if it's an accusation one against another, you take it to the Lord. Don't try and deal with it yourself. It's left best in the hands of God. Now, this is what Daniel did. He didn't try and overthrow these presidents and princes, did he? He left them in the hands of his God. The Lord was to deal with them. And what did he do? He gave thanks before his God as he had done aforetime. Nothing could keep back that real prayer that was in him. What do we read? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so it was in the case of Daniel. But he must go into this den to prove that the God of heaven was to deliver him. And why did he not keep back from prayer? Well, he couldn't, could he? Because such was his love to the Lord, such were his need before the God of heaven, he had to continually pray unto his God. Not just once a day or when he thought he would. 3 times a day. He was loyal in it. And then, as we read, and I often think of those words. I remember trying to preach from a Biggleswade many years ago. Why did the Lord deliver him? he delivered him, we are told, because he believed in his God, that God was able to shut the lion's mouths, to deliver him. And what do we find? The king, and see how the Lord was working. The king was shown that what he had signed was wrong, and he was grieved of heart, and he had to have the night with no rest because of it. You know, there are times with the Lord's dear people when they cannot rest, even in the night season, by be concerning their own souls, or concerning the trouble they're in, or concerning the opposition of Satan. The old preachers used to say, you know, if we haven't got enough religion to keep us awake one night in our life, we haven't got much. I often think about that, you know. How many times have you walked the house in wrestling prayer with the Lord that he would appear in your own soul, appear in the trouble you may be in of circumstance or in the family, and you've just walked the house, or it may be because of the opposition of Satan. Now the king couldn't rest. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Now this is what the Holy Spirit has recorded. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. You know, the king had to acknowledge that he was a true servant, Daniel was, of the living God. Are we servants of the living God? Or are we just servants of ourselves, or servants of man, or servants of the devil? You cannot serve God and mammon. Oh, to be like it's recorded here, what the king said to Daniel. Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. And then this question, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? You see, with Daniel, he hadn't got a religion he just put on when he thought he would, or just when he put his best clothes on. It was serving the Lord continually, that is, night and day. And oh, that we might have that heart that was in Daniel to serve the Lord continually. And it was seen even by the king how he served the Lord continually. Look in your heart and mine. Let us measure our, and I so often have to come to this, let us measure our religion according to the word of God. You know, often if you face a person with the word of God, they don't want to know. But you see, if we've got a real religion, we will serve the Lord continually. It's night and day. Continual exercise within. I know that exercise, and let's be clear in it, will ebb and flow. Sometimes it's greater, sometimes it's less. But it's a continual concern. Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head. And yet, let us each measure our religion by this. Whom thou servest continually. Could it be said of you and of me that that's what we do? Serve the Lord continually. And the Lord will ever honour those that do. And he was to honour Daniel. Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? What a question put to dear Daniel. How would you answer it? How would I today? Well, the Lord's the witness. You see, in all this, and it's been with me so much, and the Lord gave me this text on Friday evening when we had reading at home. And I opened the Word of God up in the book of Daniel. And it opened up right on this. Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And I read that latter part of the chapter and prayed at home. And you know, it's rested so much upon me what Daniel was enabled to say to that searching question. My God has sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. My God. You see, dear Daniel had got a God in heaven that had got all power, and he was his God. Well, let me come low. Do we desire to be able to say this morning, He's my God. Mr. Philip Hills and those of the older ones will remember, he so often used to give that beautiful hymn out here. In my early days, my God, my Father, blissful name. May I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Is that your exercise of soul this morning? Lord, oh, that I might know thou art my God. Well, Daniel could lay claim to this, and why could he lay claim to it? Because the Lord had manifested himself to him as his God. And if he's our God, then we're his children. And we should be obedient to him, listening to what the Lord would speak, serving him continually, obeying his voice, esteeming him as the one thing that is needful, ever looking to the Lord Jesus as our God. Looking nowhere else. What did the hymn writer say? Could the creatures help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Fain we would slight or doubt him, but when all the means we've tried prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. My God. Oh, may this be the inmost language of each of our souls. My God. No other God. Our God. My God hath sent his angel. He has sent his angel. You see, Daniel was in real need at this time? What about your heart? What about mine? Are we in real need? If we're in real need, you know, we'll be continually talking to the Lord and not talking about each other or talking to man. If we're in real need. Daniel, you see, he had the God of heaven to go to in all this trial that he was in. My God has sent his angel. Now, who was this blessed angel? He was none other than the Lord Jesus himself, the uncreated angel. You see, there were those angels that were created, but the dear Redeemer is the uncreated angel, and it was he that was to come down into this den to deliver Daniel. And really, you know, I hadn't thought of this before, but it comes, so I name it. You know, as Daniel uttered these words, there's no doubt in his heart he had a beautiful view of the coming of the Lord Jesus. How God sent his beloved Son into this earth to suffer, to bleed, to die. And you see, Daniel had to come to this place to have that beautiful view of the coming of the dear Redeemer. My God hath sent, there was no doubt about it, his angel. Now let me bring it right home to you and me. Do you need the blessed angel of heaven to come down to you? To reveal himself to you, to appear for you in your troubles, to send healing in your afflictions, to cast out the devil, to shut the lion's mouths. My God hath sent. It was fact, it was reality. Daniel experienced it and was experiencing it, has sent his angel. And that angel, you see, the dear Lord Jesus was to come right where Daniel was and to shut the lion's mouths, that they could not hurt him. And before I go further, don't forget what it goes on to say. For as much as before him innocency was found in me. You see, he was absolutely innocent before God, before the king, in spite of all these enemies that were trying to overthrow him. All these lions, all these, you see, really, these princes and governors were just lions, really. They were out to destroy Daniel. And there are many, you know, lions around today. They're out to destroy. And the devil's so subtle, you see, you know, a lion, he is very crafty, the lion is, naturally speaking, you know, especially the female lions. If you look in the, study them, they were very crafty how they get their prey. Oh, they are. Far more than the males. I say that rightly and reverently, not against any ladies or men, any in thinking of that, you see. But you look at it naturally. They're so crafty. And just like Satan, you see, was here, trying to overthrow Dan, trying to destroy his hope in the Lord, trying to destroy the office that God had put him in, to serve the nation and to rule. And may we have some Daniels in England today. It'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? We wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. Real Daniels, you see. Like Joseph was raised up in Egypt, wasn't he? To rule Egypt. And all the time he ruled it, but how did he rule it? And how was Daniel to rule? He was to rule it humbly, tenderly, reverently, in the fear of God, and he was to rule it faithfully. And you look in the case of dear Joseph down in Egypt, look how the Lord prospered it. Because the Lord was with Joseph and the Lord was with Daniel here. But I got to come into this den of lions. There's a couplet in the hymn that's been with me, and it really confirmed the text. And it says this: but many a lion is in the way found. And you are the real child of God, will experience that. There's many a lion. Looking at it in a natural way, the lion is out to devour, to destroy. And you can see in books or films of nature of the activity of a lion. It's a very vicious character. And so is Satan. And so are the lions that try and destroy the child of God. So he says, but my God hath sent his angel. Now, are you in need, poor soul, of this blessed angel to appear for you and to come where you are and to deliver you? This blessed angel. He can shut lions' mouths. Oh, he can. And he can shut the lions' mouths today that may be trying to destroy you, trying to destroy me. And if we got a real religion, they will. Oh, they will. And let us look at a few of these lions. Well, first of all, the great enemy of the soul, Satan, who goeth about, we are told, aren't we? And the word of God as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if we've got a real religion like Daniel had, Satan will do all he can to devour us and destroy us. But really, you know, if you were faced with this arch enemy of the soul, it's a proof that you got a real religion, because he'll never attack his own, but he always attacked the child of God. He lets the world and the ungodly or the professors of religion or you and your people go on in it, and he satisfies them in it. Solemn, you know. But oh, this lion, you see, Satan. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Often quote it, crafty is the foe and strong. Saviour, do not tarry long. And that'll be your prayer. Well, the adversary, he attacked Job, didn't he, in all directions. He didn't let dear Job have any rest, did he? But there's one thing, you know, that's so real about the experience of Job, and Job proved it. At length he did. He couldn't see it to start with, but at length he saw it. And that was that Satan was in the hands of God. And here, you know, these men could not come against Daniel without the Lord permitting it. And we need much grace to bear it then, don't we? But you see, the Lord was going to work for dear Daniel just as he did for Job and deliver him. And you look how the Lord wonderfully delivered Job from all the onslaughts of Satan. It was not just Job's livelihood that Satan was trying to destroy, and he did in many ways. It was not just his family. But it was too in Job's body that Satan was let loose. This lion, afflicting him from head to foot with boils. But that wasn't all, was it? He attacked Job's soul. And that's what Satan will, and this lion, you see, will try and do. Destroy the child of God. And destroy their little hope. And destroy what God has done in them. But he never will. He couldn't with Job. And now you look at the faith there was in Job, just as there was in Daniel, when Job said in chapter 23, "But he knoweth, the Lord knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He was to be brought right out of it, and he was profited by it all, and so was Daniel here. Oh, he was. You know what the Lord does, even when it's in as man would look at it, we walk through adversity. To the real child of God, there's profit in it. He teacheth thee to profit. And you look in Daniel's case here, the wonders God alone was to do in shutting these lions' mouths. Not only to deliver Daniel, but to destroy all those that tried to destroy Daniel. They were cast, as we read in the lesson, into the lion's den, and they were immediately torn to pieces. But these same lions couldn't touch Daniel, because God had shut their mouths. Think of that word in the Revelations, "He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth." When the Lord shuts the mouths of lions, no man can open them. But when he opens, no man can shut. Here we have, "My God has sent his angel," and then the lions may be, as in the case of Daniel, men. Women. And they're like lions. You know, over the years I've had to go to some meetings that have been very difficult, naturally speaking. And especially when you've got to chair them. And you need a lot of grace how to deal with it, because you see, there are many lions in us, aren't there? The self, there's jealousy, there's hatred. And to the real child of God, they're lions. And they're out to attack God's work. And this is known within the sinner's heart, the warfare there is within, the conflict, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You can soon tell the spirit of a person, how they react if they're confronted with something that's wrong. You know, Mr. Burnham, I understand, wrote that beautiful 12th hymn on mercy. He was a pastor in, I think it was Yorkshire, if I remember rightly. And he was left by the Lord to fall into an open sin. The church were rarely, they were grieved about it, so, and they felt he couldn't continue as pastor because of this. So they called a church meeting to discuss the whole matter and to discuss it with him. And in the meantime of that being called, the Lord so came to dear Mr. Burnham and brought him right down into humble confession of the sin and to God-given repentance. And the Lord so had mercy on him and assured him that all the sin that he committed was forgiven. And he went to that church meeting, you know, and some in the church were out for blood. They thought, well, they were attacking him like lions. But, you know, the dear man was so humbled in the dust and contrite before God and before the church and related to them all that the Lord had done and had mercy on him. At the close of the meeting, there was not a dry eye in the church. And he had to continue as pastor. And he went home, you know, and wrote that 12th hymn. And what does it say in it? Mercy that is transportingly sweet. And he could speak of it, you see. The Spirit of Christ prevailed in that dear man and it prevailed in the church. The lion's mouths were shut. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. But why I say that is, you see, an excellent spirit was found in Daniel. Oh, it was. And he had the spirit of Christ, the spirit of humility, so different than these men that cast him in, the governors and the presidents and the princes. They didn't have an excellent spirit. You know, you can measure a person where they are by their spirit, except you have the spirit of Christ. Yeah, none of his. And may that spirit, you see, of grace and of humility shine forth in us. May we not be left to be lions out to devour. I've had people say to me, oh, well, look at this person's sin and that person's sin. And I have to bring it home to them. I say, well, you look at your own. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. I remember saying, and I say it to my shame, to my mother, On one occasion, I said about some, when I was only a boy, I said about somebody's sin and how they'd walked and how they'd acted. And I should never forget her saying to me, you know, people in glass houses can't throw stones. You examine yourself, my boy. Then you tell me. The same's in you. You know, I never forgot it. It brings it right home to self-examination. That's why we read in Psalm 26, examine me, O God. The dear psalmist David prayed. Self-examination. Where do we stand? It's not what somebody else is. How do we stand before a holy God? Now this is where Daniel came to, you see. He didn't cast any stones at these governors and these princes, did he? It was his own standing. And God was to appear and shut the lions' mouths that they could not hurt him. But you think of the solemn issue of those that tried. You know, if the Lord marks a person, he will deal with them. And if they're his children, they're smart for it in time. But if they're among the wicked, they're smart eternally forever. Solemn. Well, the Lord shut the lion's mouths and he brought him right up out of this den. And in conclusion, I see the time's gone, I must leave it, but in conclusion, you see, this is what the Lord will do. He'll shut the lion's mouths and he'll bring the sinner up out of all the sorrow and distress that they've had to walk through in it all. And he'll bring them out as he did Daniel, into a wealthy place to praise and bless his holy name for all that the Lord had done. He knew where to give the glory, didn't he? He couldn't take it to himself, but he knew where to give the glory unto his God and praise and bless the Lord forever. Well, I scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit bring us where he did Daniel, to be able to say, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they cannot hurt me. And they can't hurt the child of God when he shuts their mouths. It's done forever.